Dear iGamers, welcome to today's episode. This is Stan, your favorite Data Role podcast host. This time, with me, we got Katie DiStefano, the Director of Community Marketing at OnlineGamblers.com, and we'll be discussing the role of responsible gambling in the iGaming industry. Katie, over to you for a short introduction.
Oh, thank you so much for having me here, Stan. It's an honor to join your podcast. Well, I've been in the gambling industry 13 years. I started out as a 19-year-old in customer support at Betsson in 2011. And from there, I've worked my way up through VIP management and marketing. And then the last 5 years, I've only been focusing on the US market. So now I run an affiliate website where we teach Americans safe and legal gambling. And I'm currently the director of community marketing. So my job was initially to like scope out different online communities on different platforms such as Facebook, Reddit, and even like VR apps. But lately it's turned more into a social media and PR role where I help like brands be more authentic and, you know, show myself, for I teach the Americans, like I know and I can teach you how, basically.
Okay, perfect. Thanks a lot. So I think that you'll be the perfect candidate to answer some of my questions that are related to responsible gambling. And the first one would be, what are the key aspects of responsible gambling within the context of our industry? And something that I get asked pretty often by laymen, why do I need responsible gaming at all?
So for me, there is three different points you have to consider. So if, first of all, it's mandatory in all regulatory markets. So you have to, depending on where you are based, follow these rules to make sure that no players become vulnerable or even not target vulnerable players. Because if you do, you will, of course, have a lot of risks of court cases and, you know, that will be fees, bad PR, not good for you at all. So if you just look at the regulatory space, that's number one. Number two, I would say, is we want to be able to keep customers long term, right? And players who are vulnerable or already addicted, they're not sustainable. So the number two would be sustainability. Again, I mentioned I worked with VIP and I saw whenever I had a VIP player who was not, playing healthy, it would only turn up into problems for us, whether it be bonus abuse or court cases or anything like that. So again, sustainability. And then number three, I think if you work in gambling, that's something you have to do what's best, whatever in your power to prohibit or make sure that you get less gambling addiction. So it's all about ethical aspects, I guess, you know, making sure that during the time that you're active in the industry, you do whatever you can, whether you're like expert, let's say in payments or affiliation, customer support, finance, you probably know stuff that you could do to help decrease the amount of problem gambling we see. So that would be number three.
Okay, so basically every stakeholder has its role to play, right?
Yes, exactly.
And I think that something that is interesting to consider is always related to the education. So how can we actually educate the players? What are the risks associated with gambling before they get addicted? Or what are the methods how we can assist them once we see that they're struggling with an addiction?
So previously, this always been a big debate in the industry where people have said that operators are the ones who are responsible for minimizing responsible gambling or making sure that the players don't get addicted. But personally, I think there's so much more we could do. We could do it, whether it, let's say, like I mentioned before, if you work in payments, you could probably make sure that your payment supplier, the platform you're using, might have an indication, let's say, of like, listen, you've deposited this much to this site for gambling. If you're a gambling supplier, I think the gambling supplier could put in like automatic things in the games that gives you an indication you've gambled for X amount of money or whatever. It doesn't only have to be with the operator, in my opinion. But then for me, I work as an affiliate. So I talk to the players before they even decide which operator to go to. So I believe as an affiliate, I can influence the players by saying, first of all, these are the legal ones you can go to. Because again, there's a big black market, no matter where you look, you know. And especially in the US, we don't have really indicators of which ones are legal or which are not. So if we go back to Europe, for example, if you're in Europe, most regulations require you to put up like a logo or something on your site that says like, we are licensed by XYZ or something like that. But in the US, there's nothing like that. So again, it's up to us affiliates to tell them, these are the legal sites. These are the ones you can use and we know that are safe. And we're also teaching them about, before you even make a deposit, you should always set a deposit limit or even think like, how much can you spend? What's your budget? And remember, you can never guarantee any wins. So whatever budget you put up is only for entertainment, no matter, you know, whether it's, you would put this money on going to the cinema or let's say buy Roblox coins in Robux or whatever. It's all up to you how you decide to spend your entertainment money. But gambling is the same. There's no guarantees for winning. And then what I also think we can do is, you know, obviously go beyond just normal SEO in Google. So I believe as community of director of community marketing that, you know, there's a lot of other search engines that haven't really been explored, I would say, really in terms of education. So whether it's TikTok or YouTube or Reddit, there's a lot of people that search in those engines before they even go to Google to get the information. So I think it's super important to get your education up there as well and teach players on those search engines as well, what we can do. So yeah, that's it. Sorry, I'm just rambling.
Totally fine. Thank you. And what would you name are the differences in the approach that we take between online and land-based?
Oh, it's so different, Stan. First of all, they both have different costs, right? Depending on if you're land-based or online. So land-based have a lot of costs, whether it comes to like the rent of the place, cleaning, making sure, you know, they have the bartender service and everything else. And online operations don't have that cost at all. So they have the opportunity to put everything on marketing campaigns and, you know, tournaments, free spins, reload bonuses instead. And you don't really see that when you go offline. So in those terms, it could be, I guess, a little bit more intriguing is the word, I guess I would say, you know, people get more enticed. But what I then think is the biggest difference is also because it's online, we can then track the player. You can also see your own deposits usually. You can see how many withdrawals you've done. But when it comes to land-based, especially in the US, most of the gambling is not really connected or doesn't have to be to account at all. You can play with only cash. If you want, of course, you can put in your membership card and you can, you know, get points for it. But there's no requirement, really. Everything is just cash. So there's not really anyone also, first of all, checking how old you are when you start playing on these machines, which is super dangerous. Sometimes a squirter can be like someone checking when you come in, but I wouldn't say it's too often. If you're quick, like, it's not good. And then second of all, if you're playing with cash, it's hard to keep track of it every time. But what these land-based casinos are doing instead is they're like requiring, I guess, people to go to the ATM. So they think like, if you go to the ATM each time, you will know how much you withdraw. And their way of responsible gambling is basically just putting up like a little sign by the ATM saying that, you know, think about how much you gamble and gambling responsibly. But I don't really know how much that actually helps, you know. So, and on top of that, they also, I would say, all the casinos in the US have huge withdrawal fees for these ATMs. So they want people basically to, you know, withdraw money and earn a lot of it. So it's not too good that. But I guess online, we can track it a lot more. My problem though, when it comes to online, is I wish there would be more, data available to players. We have all the data as operators usually. So I think if the players had it as well, they could be more responsible and see, you know, this is what I'm doing. And oh my God, I've logged in, you know, I don't know, 100 times in 2 days. Like maybe there's, you know, just having these own indications, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Especially in the context of land-based, for example, there's many data points that are, let's say, scarce and not necessarily identified as they could be leveraged in order to notify and bring in some information. Like, for example, my friend recently, he's been to one of the casinos in Warsaw, and they told him, hey, congratulations on your 100th time visit to our premises. So it would be cool if somehow we had access to this kind of information, or perhaps from an operator perspective, if we are able to actually tap into that and certainly use systems which we don't necessarily consider as providing data to us, at least as of today, because tomorrow it will be totally feasible. And what specific actions gambling operators take to promote responsible gambling among their customers? And how about other market stakeholders like game providers, payment providers? What do you think is like the balance between advertising gambling games and promoting responsible gambling?
It's a hard balance, honestly. It's very difficult to know, because I think, well, the minimum standard for everyone should be just to have like access to the phone numbers where to call, and, you know, chat support, and even just setting the limits. But how to market that and still keep it entertainment, I don't know. Like, I think at least it's important to have some kind of everyone, the contact information has to be there. That's a minimum. But then for me, when it comes to what I would like to see more of, if I put it like that, I saw, for example, FanDuel did a commercial about like how to set limits and remember you take timeouts and breaks and stuff like that. And that I think is super important, because again, like, they do have a lot of commercials about how fun it is to play at FanDuel and blah, blah, blah. But having that mixed in sometimes with, hey, we're FanDuel, we think it's super important that you also take a break sometime, I think that's the way to go. And I wish more operators would do that as well. Again, I think also, I don't think it should be on the players really to set these limits and stuff. I think as an operator, you should already be able to maybe set in, you know, time limits or reminders or anything else. Possibly even do more KYC to make sure that everything is on the safe side. But I don't know, it's super hard to find the balance.
Especially in the context when, for example, I can see some of the operators just set up the default limit 100k for every player, and then, all right, I mean, the player is not hitting the limits, so maybe they're not at risk at all.
No, exactly. But then it could be, like I said, it could be so different depending on player to player. So maybe if we did more focus, let's say, on KYC, we could set up different, I don't know, deposit reminders depending on how much you earn. Let's say, hey, you've deposited like, let's say, 500 this month, like, are you sure you're okay? If you're okay, then, you know, at least, you know, we know that you're aware or something, because I think it's all about awareness, right?
True. And now I'm thinking about the challenges. So the main challenges that would be associated with promoting responsible gambling within the player communities. What are the best practices for promoting this healthy approach? And what are those challenges that you see?
So the most difficult challenge, I would say, right now that we're combating is that usually when players contact support or, you know, nonprofit organizations, they're already addicted. It's too late. So I think it's super important that we come over the challenge some way, somehow, where we get players to start thinking about responsible gambling even before they get to a critical stage. How we do that, I'm not sure. Again, I think it's a lot about awareness and making sure that we give them as much information as possible so they see the signs. Because usually by the time they see the signs, they've lost everything and it's not good. And we don't want players to get there. And then I think what I've also seen a lot, so I'm active in a lot of online communities when it comes to gambling. And unfortunately, what I'm seeing when it comes to responsible gambling is that a lot of these players are so young that are reaching out and asking for help. And I think it's important as well that we as an industry try to talk more about how to not approach young people, because they're also very, very vulnerable. I mean, there are research that say that the brain is not fully developed until we're over 25. So at least where I work at Online Gamblers, we're only trying to educate Americans and saying, you know, if you're under 25, really consider like if you're ready to gamble, because you're not fully aware of the consequences and might not have the finances to do it. And then going back to the US as well, another challenge that we're seeing a lot is that in the US, it's so common to gamble with credit cards. And it's not only gambling, it's anything with credit cards. So they will buy houses, cars, like any small Starbucks, like anything they do, they use credit cards for, because they earn reward points for. And then they put the rewards point on, you know, payments and other stuff. But I don't really believe that it's the right thing to do when it comes to gambling, because it's so easy to get out of hand. We have seen there's one micro betting operator right now called Better that is completely blocking credit cards. But other than that, I haven't seen anyone else talk about that.
That's an interesting point. Well, also from responsible gaming, what is crucial, and since we are the Data Role podcast, what are the different tools and technologies that operators, but not only operators, use to monitor and manage responsible gambling? And now a few words as a side note from my side. I think that it all boils down to having access to your data at the granular level. So preferably every transaction, bet win, deposit, withdrawal, bonus, awarded, converted, offered, granted, etc. And once you have your data and you get it consolidated, you get this one single view, today's possibilities are pretty much limitless. First of all, we have reporting. Reporting will tell you how the things are and what are the reasons behind that. So for example, we could assign tags to players that we deem to be risky gamblers. This could be different tags, different levels of risk, and these may require already some preventive actions or maybe some more intrusive inquiries. Or at the end of the day, it could even be an exclusion, so the ultimate measure to combat the addiction. And once you have your report in place, you can slice and dice the data across the population of your players. You can have a zoom on specific segments of players, as well as you can get a deep dive into the behavior of one single player. This way, you see if they engage in any risky activities, right? These need to be defined beforehand in collaboration with the responsible gambling team and the data team together. What are those markers of harm in the player's behavior? We expect to have some standards at EU level with respect to such markers of harm. And once we define them, we can see if people reach a certain level for the markers and also what is the associated frequency. That's why we see which players fail to behave responsibly, and then we can make some decisions. We can act upon this. Finally, we can embark predictive analytics. So AI and machine learning, and these are just the top of the technological iceberg of the different possibilities that we have. Most importantly, here we're speaking about methods that have been taught in the universities for decades already, so exist since the 70s, 80s. So we know that their value is proven scientifically, statistically, and this has been with us for such a long time. And at the same time, the innovation lies in the fact that not only we start to have like limitless sets of data points, but finally we have the computational power, so we are able to do something with that data. Now with all the virtual cores, virtual machines, the cloud computing, etc. So previously we collected the data, also in some limited fashion, let's say. Now we can collect everything. We can tap into those big data sets with a finger click. And with the compute resources that can be scaled up on demand and decommissioned once you don't need them anymore, we operate in a pay-as-you-go model. So you just click, you pay for what you use, and then you turn it off, right? So this means that instead of training your models on, like, let's say 10 features, 20,000 records, today you can have like hundreds, thousands of different features, billions of records, and this drastically improves the accuracy of your predictions. Then you can predict, based on the behavior of that player, what is their propensity to risky gambling. Also, you can take into account other traits and data as well. With the computational power we have today at our hands, you could find out, let's say, that people from a specific street within a neighborhood have a different pattern than those from other areas. All of that suddenly became available and commonplace once cloud computing became widespread. Finally, it's interesting to take a look at what are the KPIs, how to measure if we are effective or not. and how data analytics can support us with the different efforts that are related to promoting responsible gambling. Here, we need to define the KPIs, as usual, to know if this does explain or not, if we're performing in the right way or we're still struggling. If our preventive efforts and campaigns are effective, we should expect, for example, that the bans, exclusions, which are involuntary, should be trending downwards. Of course, here, assuming all the other aspects are constant. So let's say that we do not need to take care of the seasonality effects, different variations. When everything remains constant, we should be getting less and less people who get simply banned because of the preventive actions that are more effective. So at the same time, based on all the instruments that we have at our disposal, we can measure absolute and relative numbers for cool-offs, limits. Let's take limits, for example, if people are reaching their limits, how many times they request to raise the limit, how many people undergo responsible gambling procedures. Obviously, assuming that we're not simply putting like this, what we said before, this 100K limit to everyone and then nobody reaches, so nobody's at risk, right? So let's say that we're assuming a more balanced approach here. And on top of all of that, we could check KPIs that are related to customer service. So this could tell us some nice important information, how we're performing. If we had many calls, messages, emails, maybe those players are writing to us on the chat on a daily basis, and then they suggest that they might be struggling with some gambling issues. I mean, these are all information that we can gather and verify and validate in order to know if we're performing well or not with respect to all of these aspects. So at the end of the day, it's all about like finding out which are the downward trends, if these are when applied to the exclusion KPIs, and closely monitoring the preventive KPIs, as we discussed. I'm pretty sure you have some nice examples about some innovative approaches or research projects that are aimed at tackling issues that relate to gambling addiction.
Yes, actually I do. I have two very interesting ones that I'm looking into a lot. The first one I would say is one that is already completed. I have a friend at Kindbridge Behavioral Health in the US who's helped approach a lot of insurance companies in the US to make sure that gambling addiction therapy is included in insurance. So if you're a private person and you experience gambling addiction, you can now reach out to your insurance company and see if they cover gambling addiction. So that would mean that the insurance would pay for therapy and making sure, you know, you get your way back slowly. And then the second one is a very interesting one. It's not finished. I have a friend in Gibraltar who is working for University of Gibraltar about a research if psychedelic mushrooms can help gambling addiction and basically reprogram the brain with the help of mushrooms so that they don't think about gambling at all. They have no desire to deposit or do any type of slots or anything. But again, that research is not done, but it's super interesting and I'm looking forward to see what happened with it.
Yeah, this seems extremely interesting. So can't wait to hear about the results. And what do you think? What can we expect in terms of development of more advanced tools and strategies for promoting responsible gambling in the like nearest or farther future?
I think we're still in our infancy because I feel like it's just now, I would say the last 2-3 years, that people have been really interested in responsible gambling and trying to figure out how we can prevent it and be more active in it. So again, I think it's just in the beginning, and with new tools like AI and stuff, you know, it's gonna develop a lot faster. I'm hoping we will see a lot more awareness and education in the industry, different tools, whether it maybe it's like AI who can give you help on how to prevent it personally. I don't know. It could be anything. But then I'm also hoping we see better regulation in terms of actually making sure that money from regulation goes to helping vulnerable players, that we see that there's a regulation that helps nonprofit organizations that actually organize these types of things. So yeah, that's where I hope to see in the future.
Okay, this looks promising. So let's see how the future will unfold. And I guess that basically we're approaching the end of today's episode. So thanks a lot, Katie, for these very interesting insights.
Thank you so much, Stan, for having me here. It was a great pleasure.
Likewise. So today we discussed the definitions. What is the responsible gambling? What are the key aspects of responsible gambling? As well, we discovered what are the challenges that are associated with it. How does responsible gambling differ between online and land-based? What are the different tools, technologies, research, and trends that are associated with this field of the industry? So thanks a lot for today. That's going to be it. So guys, no more bets. This was Stan signing off for now. And remember, keep rolling with the data.